It's a great thing to be in the house of God this morning. So thankful. And as we begin, I opened my email this morning, and there was a card from one of my high school classmates. And just says, Happy Father's Day. Yes, wishing you all the very best. And a big thank you to all our brothers for being the backbone of our world. You are our protector, confidant, defender, provider, listener, coach, teacher, mentor, friend, parent, inventor, hero, big brother, and so much more. May Psalm 1 be your lifelong portion. And I'm speaking that into all of our lives this morning. May Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's just the first three verses of that psalm. As we celebrate this Father's Day 2018, I want to honor all the fathers in the house and wish all of us a very happy and blessed Father's Day. Today's message has taken on some different iterations. I was originally on the schedule for last Sunday, the 10th, but was unable to be here due to family commitments and several graduations that we had, including one on Sunday. Realizing later on that today, in fact, is Father's Day, I did not want to disappoint those who look forward to a traditional Father's Day message on Father's Day. This is, I think, my third privilege to bring a message on Father's Day. I'm also very privileged to somehow be coincidentally selected to speak when the Seahawks play at 10 on Sunday. I don't know how that happens. I'm sure it's just random. However, although this message could be called a Father's Day message, I don't think it's what I would consider a traditional Father's Day message. And the title of the message is Our Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have another privilege to gather as your children and listen to what you have for us, Lord. I pray you will speak to our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be prepared for what you have for us, Lord, and that your spirit will reign supreme in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not sure about the rest of you, but to me it seems pretty awkward trying to speak exclusively to fathers on Father's Day. And conversely, exclusively to mothers on Mother's Day. I think we should consider celebrating Parents' Day, either in addition to or more radically in place of the separate celebrations of Mother's Day and Father's Day. The truth of the matter is there would be no mothers without fathers and no fathers without mothers. Amen? That's the truth. So as we celebrate this Father's Day, let us also remember all the wonderful mothers in our lives. All of us should take a moment to think about the different fathers in our lives. Some of us may have been fortunate to have had only one father figure for the most part. While some of us may have been either fortunate or otherwise to have had several, if we were so unfortunate to be through the foster care system, some of us may have had many different fathers. I personally had two, because my natural birth father passed away when I was just going on 13 years of age, which was many, many years ago. And I was blessed to be raised in a very loving home after that time and didn't skip a beat. Didn't skip a beat. A home with love, a home where we were nurtured, educated well, encouraged in the things of the Lord. And so I count myself as one of the fortunate ones. But whatever your memories are, we have a Father above that is perfect. Amen? So no matter what the case of our earthly fathers, as we reflect on them this morning, there's one thing I can guarantee you, and that is none of those fathers was or is perfect. Would you agree with me this morning? Although some may come really close, there is at least one of those really close ones in the house today, but I will not embarrass him by calling his name. I won't even look in his direction, because you may know who it is. Some of us have also had the privilege and responsibility of being father figures to more than just our own children. And I take my hat off to all of you this morning. So what is it like to be a father? Those of you who are already fathers may agree or disagree with me when I read out my list, and don't go look for these in the Bible, it's not there. Those who are waiting or anticipating becoming fathers need to take note. And these are my words. And after this, you'll have a quiz. Being a father is, one, a frightening prospect. It's a frightening prospect. There's just so much involved with being a father. It's an awesome responsibility. The buck stops with you. That's an awesome responsibility. It's trying and testing times. Trying and testing a lot. Well, if you just have two perfect daughters, I don't think it's that trying or testing. It's hard work. It's hard work. Parenting in general and being a father is hard work. It's enormous expenditures. We had some refugees that we used to help and counsel, and one of them decided that he was going to have a child because he wanted to have a dependent to write off on his tax return. That was the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Because you spend exponentially more than that during the lifetime of that little bugger. So it's enormous expenditures, and it's what I consider a rarity of relaxation. Now, if you are writing these down, you will notice that the first letter of each of those, if you take the first letter, it spells Father, for those of you smart cookies in the bunch. Frightening prospect, awesome responsibility, trying and testing times, hard work, enormous expenditures, and rarity of relaxation. The subject of this message is our Father, and those of us who have professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives know we have a loving and caring Heavenly Father. Even though we know we have a relationship with God, we all know that God is spirit. We can't touch him and feel him. However, God in his providence came to earth in the flesh in Jesus Christ and dwelt among men. Now, even the oldest among us weren't around at that time. So even Jesus, even though he dwelt in the flesh, it was God in the flesh, it was in another era where none of us were around. However, between Adam and Jesus, we have a plethora of examples of earthly fathers. One in particular has become known as the father of our faith. And that is Abraham. And before his name was changed to Abraham, of course, we know it was Abram. Abraham is an interesting figure because he is recognized as the father of three distinct and different religions, for lack of a better term. Christians, Muslims, and Jews all trace our faith back to Abraham. However, one difference is that for Christians, we place much more emphasis on the fulfillment of God's promise in Jesus Christ, because that was the culmination of the whole grand plan of salvation for man. But Abraham still holds a special place in the evolution of our faith. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Simple. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The same chapter, drop down to verse 13 in Romans of chapter 4. For the promise that he would be the heir to the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And then we drop down to verse 16 of that same chapter, Romans chapter 4. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, why is this important? Because God picked the path that he would use to bless these people, this world that he had created. And Abraham was one of the vessels that he chose to work through for the redemption of mankind. And it's important that we realize that although we are not heretically or biologically a part of that lineage, the scripture clearly tells us that we also a part of that inheritance because we have been adopted and grafted into that family through faith and the power of God, through the righteousness of faith, which is chapter verse 13 says. So don't let anyone sway you and tell you that this book is irrelevant in today's life because it's not written to you and me. It's not relevant for us. It's for a different era. It's for a different time. In fact, it's all a bunch of gobbledygook. No. The scripture says that to all those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So it's relevant, and we are part of that lineage by faith in Jesus Christ this morning. So what lessons can we learn from the life of Abraham? Want to play with the words again. Number one, Abraham was faithful. Faith is the foundation upon which all else is built. In Genesis chapter, I don't think you have this, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Verse 5, then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Can you imagine how incredulous and ridiculous this sounds? Here's a man 75 years old, and God just speaks to him, says, just get up and go. I'm not even going to tell you where you're going to go. You're just going to get up and go. And the account in Scripture doesn't tell us that he prayed, that he discussed it with his wife, that he, and he may have done all of that, but it just tells us that he departed as the Lord had spoken with him. He believed that God would lead him in the right direction. See, most of us today, when God says move, we want to know where. We want to know how we're going to get there. We want to know which direction we're going to take. We want to know how our expenses are going to be met. And that's just the way our minds work. I didn't say it's a bad thing. But it's even better if we just get up and move. And because he had passed that test, God told him something even more ridiculous, that when he was almost 100, that he was going to have an heir, a son. I don't blame him for laughing and his wife for laughing when she heard that she was going to have a child. So there's still hope. But he believed God. That's why the scripture says that he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He did not doubt that God, who had promised, is faithful to fulfill that which he has promised. You see, a lot of us rather believe what we hear on the news. We rather believe the government. We rather believe fill in the blank. But somehow we cast doubt. We don't tell him we don't believe him, but we act like we don't believe God, if we want to be honest with ourselves. But faith is the foundation for a father to have. Faith is a necessity in a home where God is to be the head, where God is to be worshipped, where God is to be honored, and where children are to be raised and nurtured in the knowledge, love, and fear of God. There is no substitute for the father to be a man grounded in faith. Something just hit me. And you know how awkward this message would be if we were talking about same parent families, two moms or two dads? It would be really awkward. And God didn't plan it that way. We're trying to help him. It's not new. Sarai tried to help Abraham when she didn't want to wait till the time of the promise. And we know what happened. Listen, God does not need our help. Bad things happen when we try to help God. And don't wait for his time. I'll just leave it at that. But Abraham was faithful. He believed God. He had implicit trust and confidence in him. And that's what's needed for fathers today. Number two, Abraham was anchored. He was firmly planted. We just read the Psalm 1. Like a tree firmly planted by the rivers of water. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be where God has planted it and where God has put it. He was one place when God said, get up and move. He moved and he went to another place. Not only physically anchored, but spiritually anchored. Spiritually sure of what he believed and the God that he believed in. You see, as fathers, we can't be tossed to and fro with every wind that blows. We can't be chasing after the latest fad. We have to be anchored in our faith and anchored in our belief of who God is and what he's trying to do through us and in us. The alternative is not good for the family. So we need to be anchored, faithful and anchored. Number three, Abraham was tested. Abraham was tested. Because God knew who he was dealing with, he gave him a test that's, I think, more than anything any of us have ever had to go through. I know we think our tests are big sometimes. But God told him, Abraham, to sacrifice his son. the son of the promise, the son that he had promised him and had been born. Told him to sacrifice his son, and he didn't again. He decided to obey God. And they were going up. He had his son. He had the wood and everything. And they were going, and they got like halfway up the mountain. And the little bugger asked him, said, what's the deal? I see the wood and I see everything, but where's the animal? And what did Abraham say? He said, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Sometimes he takes us to the edge. Sometimes we think we're at the end of the rope. Sometimes we can't see our way out of whatever that test, whatever that trial, whatever that problem is. But he always comes through. It may not be the way we think he will come through. We may have agonized and had sleepless nights. But he always comes through. If I were to give some of you the opportunity this morning, you'll tell us. Because I know it for a fact. And just in the nick of time, there was an animal, a ram caught by the horns in the thicket. And they sacrifice that animal. But God knew his heart. And just like us today, God knows each and every one of our hearts. He will not give you more than you can bear. You don't know how much you can bear till you get to that point. That's the point. But he was tested, and like Abraham, we all today, as fathers, will be tested in so many different ways. Because guess what? Just as none of the fathers are perfect, none of our kids are perfect either. Although some come close. So he was tested. And he passed the test. He passed the biggest test God gave him by being willing to sacrifice his son. He believed God for who he said he is, and that he's totally capable of doing what he said he will do. That's it. Faithful, anchored, tested. Next one goes along with tested, and that's hardened. He was hardened. He had to endure many, many hardships, famines, wars, and troubles in his life. Now, hardened does not mean we don't have empathy and sympathy and some level of emotion. It means we're not. How can I say this in a politically correct manner? It means we're not as emotional as our wives. Most of you will agree with me that for the most part, and I'm generalizing, yeah, women tend to be a little more on the emotional side than men, than most men. Most straight men. Okay, that's enough. Don't report me to the PC police. But he was hardened. We go through these tests, and because of the position that God has put us in, we've got no choice but to have a little bit thicker skin. I think I told you this story before. During the height of the war in Liberia, I heard a lady and her husband arguing. At that time, food was really scarce, and this guy had gone out all day and found a couple of green papayas. And he was going to eat it, and the wife said, "No, we need to feed the children. They've been hungry all day." And he said, "Well, no. I need to eat it because if they fall, I can lift them. But if I fall, they can't lift me. And if I eat it, I'll have strength to go look for more for them." It was tough. It was tough. I remember laying on top of that, these ones, our older kids, while there were bullets flying overhead. But we have to be prepared for those battles that will come our way and stand up to defend and protect our families. Because guess what? No matter what they tell you in school, children, men and women are different. Most of you are smart enough to know that. They're different. God created us different for a reason. But we need to be hardened and able to endure the tough times and protect and defend and nourish and our families. What else? Faithful, anchor, tested, hardened, expecting is the next one. Abraham had a heart of expectation because of what God had revealed to him. You see, a lot of times we know, we hear, we read God's word, but we don't live our lives and conduct ourselves as if we are looking out with earnest expectation for what he wants and plans to do in our lives. We just say, "Oh, well, whatever." Right? That's you guys' big word. Whatever. No. We have to expect something. We have to look forward to something. And hopefully what we're expecting and looking forward to is what God has dropped inside of our spirits. He's promised us something for our families. He's promised us an heir of the promise. He's promised us children that we will nurture and raise in the fear and knowledge of our God. It's a privilege and an awesome responsibility, but once he puts that into us, we have to work and expect that to happen. See, God is like God promising us, "Well, you'll get this job." So I just go sit down, kick back, put my foot up, watch TV all day. The job's probably not going to happen that way. You actually have to get up and write some applications and actually take them in or send them in online or whatever the process is, right? That shows we're expecting something. And we have to look forward. We have to have a vision. We have to have a plan as fathers and involve the family in realizing those plans. So Abraham looked forward with expectation to the fulfillment of God's promise and covenant with him. if God makes a promise, He is able to keep it. More than able. I always say He's never failed once, and I'm sure He's not waiting for one of us to be the first example of His failure. No. And finally, so we got faithful, we got anchored, we got tested, we got hardened, we got expecting. And the last is Abraham was resourceful. He was resourceful. I already started by saying that along with the rest of us, he wasn't perfect. Abraham was many things, but perfect was not one of them. He devised clever means of making the best of bad situations. A teacher got in front of the class one day and asked his students, "What is a lie?" This descendant of Peter shot his hand up, this little kid, and said, "A lie is an abomination to God, but is a very present help in trouble." So when I say Abraham was resourceful, he found himself in a situation where there was a famine in the land and they had to go to Egypt, they had to go to a foreign land, and he actually told a half-truth. He thought that his wife was so beautiful that they would have killed him on her account, so he said she was his sister. And because of that, when they found out, and because of the blessing of God on his life, when they found out, they gave him a lot of treasure and told him to go away. So he left much richer than he had come in. He found a way out of a tight situation. And I don't believe that account is in Scripture. And by the way, he did it more than once, and Isaac did it also. So it's still going on today. But he found the resources within him, within what God has placed within him, to make the best of a bad situation. And guess what? Sometimes as fathers, we place in that situation. We are. And we got to use whatever we have. That's why God asked Moses, "What's in your hand?" God has given us abilities. He's given us talents. And he's given us the means to accomplish all that he has called us to accomplish. He's placed it within our hands. He's given us the measure of faith that we need to believe him for who he says he is. We don't need that much. That's what Jesus said, as small as a mustard seed. But yet we pray every day, "Give me more faith, give me more faith." No. What we need is to act on the one that we already have. And stop praying for more faith. Let's use what we have already, because God has given us enough to stand on, to believe him for who he says he is. I'll have the music ministry come back up. So those of you that were following, we have spelled father again, right? I see Larry smiling. Faithful, anchored, tested, hardened, expecting, and resourceful. God has given us as fathers an awesome responsibility, but has blessed us with the tools, the temperament, the time, the talents that we need to carry out this responsibility. Yes, some of us have been less than perfect fathers. None of us is perfect. But God is. And He's still on the throne. He's still wanting to do great things through us and in us. All we have to do is reach out to Him. All we have to do is avail ourselves of what He has already provided. In order to stand strong and be the representative that He has called us to be. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for fathers today. Thank You for those that are already fathers. We thank You for those that are prospective fathers. And Lord, I just pray a special blessing from You upon all the men in the house this morning. Lord, I pray for strength. I pray for wisdom. I pray for direction. I pray, Lord, that You will fill us with Your power and Your anointing, Lord. That You will give us the desire to draw closer to You, Lord. And Lord, I just lift up families in our church today. Oh, I pray for the children, for the wives, for the families, Lord, because I know that our families are under relentless attack from the enemy, Lord. I build a hedge of protection around our families and our children and grandchildren this morning, wherever they may be, Lord. That Your hand may be upon us, Lord. That You will keep us, preserve us for Your purpose, O God. Lord, I lift up the leadership in our church before You this morning. Lord, thank You for the direction that You're taking us, Lord. And we just give You all the praise this morning. Dismiss us now with Your blessing. May Your sweet Holy Spirit abide with us and in us till we meet again. And all God's people said, Amen. You are dismissed.